We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now it's time for Filani and Reamer on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Paul George tonight, and they are sending to Oklahoma City essentially a record collection of draft picks, four first round picks, four unprotected future first round picks, a protected future first round pick, two pick swaps, and outstanding rookie point guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari for Paul George. Paul George came to the Thunder in the last couple of days and asked to be traded to the Clippers. He wanted to play with Kawhi Leonard, and to get this deal done, to stave off the Lakers, stave off the Toronto Raptors, the Los Angeles Clippers, Steve Ballmer, Lawrence Frank, their president, made a decision to make, you know, really a historic commitment.
That's Woj breaking down the particulars of this deal. And, you know, the thing is, Kawhi Leonard, all the focus, most of the focus has been on him, especially in conversation of players controlling their own destiny in the NBA. You mentioned the Deadspin piece. Kawhi Leonard is the NBA's executive of the year. But, I mean, Kawhi was a free agent. I mean, he did nothing off-putting from that standpoint. I mean, he was a free agent. Totally has the right to choose where he wants to go. Paul George is the one where, if you want to talk about the players totally overtaking the league, that's the one to point to. He just signed the four-year extension with OKC last summer, and he forced his way out with 3 years left on his deal. By the way, I mean, Kyrie...
He reversed course on where he wanted to play in the first place. He's done this a couple of times. Does he want to go to L.A.? Does he not want to go to L.A.?
Well, he's spurned the Lakers 2 years in a row.
These are the kinds of things where, again, in principle, I agree with you, and I'm okay with the idea of players having power, but I can easily see how some fans could find that off-putting and could look at it and say, the players are wielding power in such a way that makes the league not as enjoyable from a competitive standpoint.
I mean, the one thing where I do listen to that argument is when guys like George, 3 years left on their deal. Anthony Davis had a year and a half. Kyrie had two left in Cleveland. Jimmy Butler had a year left in Minnesota, I believe. So these guys are doing it with years left on their deal. That's the difference. But, you know, if you're to read the story, I mean, so it's...
Don't get me wrong. Most Celtics fans are not that disappointed to see Kyrie go. But even to pull what Kyrie pulled this year, I'm definitely coming back, blatantly lying to the fans, and then being a pain in the ass for the better part of the season, and then bolting. And yes, nobody was sad to see him go, or few people were sad to see him go in the end, but... You want to talk about no repercussions or no consequences? There's none for players if they want to try to force their way out of town, get out of a deal with years left, openly advocate or stump
because
for trades,
of how valuable
or just flat out or lie. Exactly,
they
because
are.
Their services are so valuable because there's only a couple of dozen players that are at the level where you can build a championship team around.
And,
that's probably generous. I'm probably too broad and generous with that number.
And the thing is, too, a lot of these guys are underpaid. You know, the four-year, $140 million deal that everyone's been signing, I mean, that puts you at what, $35-40 million a year?
I can make that work.
I mean, you could make that work.
Make that work.
But they're underpaid. You know, a guy like Kawhi Leonard should maybe make $50 million, $60 million a year with the amount of value that they bring to a franchise, not just in terms of games and, you know, wins and losses, but in terms of merchandising, ticket sales, franchise value.
Hey, man, last night at Fish, it was all about the merch.
All about the
they
merch,
had
baby.
All kinds of Fenway Red Sox logoed.
There it is. More Fish.
Fenway with a PH.
This is not Fish. This is more elevator music.
No, this is Fish.
Oh, no.
This is
exactly. Really? I'm telling you, glorified elevator music.
This would be a fun game to play. Fish or not.
Fish or elevator music.
Fish or elevator music, and have John play a song. And is this fish? Is this not fish?
I'm in. 10:50. Let's do it.
So this is actually fish.
This is actually fish.
What song is this?
This is the same song I've been playing the whole show. I've just been resuming it every time it gets mentioned.
You know,
see how long it takes for us to finish.
You know,
it.
Recognize it from the show last night?
I do not recognize it from the show last night. There was one guy who we were there with. We knew he was sitting in front of us who knew all the songs. So I was able to ask him, what is this? Oh, this is Possum. That's the only one I remember. There's a song called Possum. But other than that, no, I had no idea what they were playing.
Where does this leave the Celtics, Chris Filani, in terms of the Eastern Conference and with all these comings and goings? Nick Fryer of WEI.com says, along with the shift in power in the East, the Celtics' other major takeaway from this deal is Danny Ainge was right to hold back in his pursuit of George, Leonard, and Anthony Davis. Leonard got a ring, which made it worth it for the Raptors, but is one and done all of a sudden. Now good enough for Boston. George committed to the Thunder long term just last year, yet he was so easily persuaded by Leonard when he sashayed his way, I appreciate the Drag Race reference, into George's life, met with him in Los Angeles, and convinced him to reconsider a homecoming. So, after seeing what those two did and experiencing the Kyrie fiasco, how can Anthony Davis have been a worthwhile risk, especially since he doesn't have a track record of winning and his acquisition would have decimated the Celtics roster? So with all this now done and the landscape settled or close to settled, how do we feel about the Celtics in terms of the hand they were dealt, the crappy hand they were dealt, not going all out for Anthony Davis and getting Kemba Walker to ultimately replace Kyrie?
They'll be in the mix next year in the East. Of course they will. They'll be in the upper echelon of the East, but are they truly a championship contender? Probably not. And that's the frustration that a lot of fan bases live with. You sort of, like, look at Denver last year. Denver's a great example of this. If you just looked at where Denver finished in the standings, you'd say they were a powerhouse within the Western Conference. Right. But realistically, they weren't. They went through that entire season playing good basketball, winning most of their games.
Best playoff series of
and
the year.
Knowing
like we did in Denver.
And knowing that they probably didn't have a chance to win a championship. That's kind of where the Celtics are.
Well,
aren't you just kind of hoping that they build and they're more fun to watch next year?
Absolutely. But
that's the goal.
And listen, on paper, they are worse substituting Kyrie for Kemba Walker.
But
and
that also kind of sucks.
Losing
That goal kind of sucks. Just be fun to watch and maybe be competitive and put together a little run in the playoffs.
I'm sorry, though. See, but that's where
that's where fans get frustrated.
No, that's where spoiled fans get frustrated. I mean, I'm sorry. They made the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years in a row, took LeBron and the Cavs, a depleted Cavs team, no doubt, but nonetheless, to Game 7 just last year.
But it's
those are seasons that fan bases across the country would sign up for.
But it's not just a Boston spoiled fan thing to think, wow, I'd love my team to be a championship contender. That's what I want to see. And if it doesn't look like it's going to be that way, to be disappointed. I don't think that's just a Boston thing. That's a natural fan thing. And yes, Boston teams, including the Celtics, have been closer than most.
But they could reach the Eastern Conference Finals this year. I mean, that's champ. You're one of the last four teams playing, if that's the case. That's the definition of championship contending.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
But that goes back to the NBA. It's yes. Are you there? Are you close? Sure. But do you really have the chance to win it that you would have if you were the last four standing in any of the other sports? Yeah.
The one that really stinks, because even though Kyrie is a better player than Kemba Walker, there is that belief, and I buy into it, that it might be addition by subtraction, where you substitute in Kemba, it gets along with these young guys better, just a better mix this year. But, you know, Horford, him going to Philly, is the real one. And if we're to believe all the reports, you know, Danny Ainge did have the choice to give Al Horford the four-year deal he was looking for. He opted not to do that. Philadelphia reportedly had a much better offer than the Celtics did. And that's where, if you want to criticize Ainge, that's worth criticizing, because you bring back a team of Kemba Walker, Horford, if you retained his rights, which with the sign and trade deals they, you know, would have possibly found a way to do, with Tatum and Brown and, you know, Marcus Smart, Hayward still here. So reports say, Chris, people around the Celtics are cautiously giddy about Hayward. I mean,
you been calling him the ghost of Gordon? What do you say? The corpse?
Gordonary. The corpse of, no, I'm the corpse of Gordon Hayward. Okay. Mark James is Gordonary Hayward.
That's clever, I guess.
Very clever. Very
better than
clever.
The bullpen. I'll give him that.
See, the bullpen, though, has staying power.
It does.
This is year two or three.
I always remember it. So
yeah, exactly. That's something to be said for that.
I suppose. Something to be said for that.
But clearly the Celtics made a choice to not
garbage Hayward
overextend themselves for Horford.
I'm okay with that. Because, again, well,
I said championship or bust. I mean, the Celtics are a much better team with Al Horford than they are with Enes Kanter.
Again, I don't think Horford is the linchpin that is with this particular team, with this roster. I don't think adding Al Horford on it moves you that much closer, moves the needle that much in terms of a championship. Again, it's the nature of the NBA. There's a handful of guys around which you could build a championship
team. You could
say
Horford, though.
If you have one, great. You really need two, and usually they pair up like nuns and go play together. So
pair up like nuns.
If
never heard
you have that type of talent, have that type of player, then somebody like Horford can move the needle for you. And the same way the Celtics built and put pieces around the new big three when they first got them a little more than a decade ago. So they just don't have that level of talent right now. And that's why, and there's so many fan bases around the league that are looking at it and saying, okay, we have talent. There's maybe reason to watch the games, reason to be excited. But you go into the season realistically knowing you can't win a championship unless there's a rash of injuries, something crazy happens, you get a midseason trade, something weird has got to happen for you to win a championship. And I think a lot of fan bases get frustrated going into seasons like that.
But you can build on stuff, too. And if you're frustrated, you know, again, I go, let's blame the management. Like the Nets this year have a comeback season. They get D'Angelo Russell. They acquire all these assets through the Tobias Harris trade and others. Do a really good job. Sean Marks does a really good job of making the Nets an attractive place to play after they scrape the bottom of the league with the Pierce and Garnett trades. And what happens? Well, Kyrie wants to go home. The Nets present themselves a viable option. So, yes, Kyrie did decide he wants to go there because, you know, let's return to my roots, metropolitan New York
Kyrie
area.
Would Kyrie have made that decision?
I don't think he would have made that decision if Sean Marks did not do the job he did rebuilding the Nets.
See, I don't think he would have made that decision without Durant. Would he have made that decision without somebody else to go with?
Well,
if Kevin Durant said, I'm going back to Golden State, or I'm going someplace else, I'm going wherever, right. I'm going to Phoenix.
Would Kyrie have signed with LeBron and the Lakers, or entertained a return here, or gone to play for James Dolan?
I think all the work that Sean Marks had done, well, good, did not weigh into his decision as much as I can play with Kevin Durant.
Tom in Rhode Island has some thoughts on all this stuff. Hey, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
What's up?
I disagree with you as far as who should be in charge, and I'm talking as a former pro athlete.
You're a former pro athlete.
Yes, I am.
Okay, what did you play?
I was drafted by the New York Rangers. I played in their minor league system
nice.
For a couple of years.
Congratulations.
Oh, thanks. I felt fortunate because I got paid to play.
Hey, that's the goal. So what's up, Tom?
Yeah, that's the goal of all of us playing in college or minor leagues or junior, whatever you're playing, but I disagree I think the owner should still be in charge. I disagree with free agency.
You disagree with free agency?
I do. And the reason I say that is a lot of us, myself included, I probably would have been pumping gas or driving a truck if I wasn't playing hockey.
So you don't think players should have the right to control where they play, who they work for?
You do have the control. You can not go into the draft. You can stay in school, get your degree. You can...
And do what?
And do what?
Become an undrafted free agent and make no money? So forego the millions of dollars of signing bonuses that you get, especially if you're an early draft pick?
That's right. That's the lure, is all the money.
Well, because that's the system. That's a system, Tom. You can only get the million-dollar signing bonuses if you enter the draft.
Right, correct. And that's a great system if you want to choose to make those millions of dollars. Or you can stay in school, get a degree, and be an accountant or a salesperson or whatever. But that's their choice. That's what they're doing.
Why do you think athletes shouldn't be allowed to choose where they work and other people can? Like, how come you don't say the same for actors? Should there be some sort of
choosing where they work?
Tom, should there be some sort of Hollywood studio?
A professional athlete.
Should there be some sort of Hollywood studio draft where all the big studios in Hollywood draft actors and sign them to 5-10 year deals?
So how come? Listen to me for a second. They are choosing. They're choosing to go into that system that's going to allow them to make millions of dollars and take the risks that go with it. And some of the restrictions that go with it. That's their choice.
But why can't they be free agents? Why can't they enjoy the free market that all of us do?
Because these owners are the ones, and the fans are the ones that are investing in them. And if they become free agents and start bopping around, all the fans' efforts and hearts and all that stuff and the owners' investment in them gets wasted.
Yeah, but how about, though, the Clippers fans or the Heat fans and of Jimmy Butler or, you know, I mean, we're only saying fans. We're bitter now as Celtics fans because Kyrie has spurned us. But you know, it wasn't too long ago when we had Garnett, Pierce, Allen. We were all in favor of the super teams. Just get the guys here. They'll want to stay here.
Yeah,
Garnett did.
Tom goes a little too far for my taste.
I'm not about
getting rid of free agency.
Let's go backwards.
I'm okay with that. In fact, I'm all right with getting players, for example, in baseball to free agency sooner.
Yes.
But the draft itself, I agree with in a profession where you strive for competitive balance, right? If you're kind of looking at it from a neutral point of view, you want as many teams competitive as possible and entertaining product. Yeah, if you're just looking at it through like a Celtics lens, then sure, let's have all the good players come to Boston and screw everybody else. But I understand the idea of a draft to try to at least level the playing field. Now, you still have to you still have to do something with those picks. There's no question about it. It doesn't guarantee you. You could be the Timberwolves and draft Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio and let Steph Curry slide 7 in Golden State, and that franchise has changed forever. So you still have to do something with it. You still have to have some sort of management here. But I think the premise of it, trying to get everybody competitive, is a good thing.
Well, but the Warriors, again, that was good. You could also say that they had the best scouting. You know, they're the ones who targeted Curry at number 7.
No, you still have to do something good with it. But again, if you have then one of those guys like a LeBron or Durant, you could change the course of your franchise for years to come and potentially lift an entire sports market that had been in the doldrums for decades. I think that's a good thing. And, yeah, it worked out for LeBron in that he was able to play in his hometown. But I think that the balance there of players getting the absolute right at every stage of their career to choose where they're playing, as opposed to the greater good of maybe lifting an entire franchise, of making a more competitive league, I think that balance tips towards the latter.
Kevin in New Hampshire. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on?
Nothing. It's weird. You don't hear that click anymore when you call in. But
hey, it's new system, baby. Seamless system, Kevin. Oh.
State of the art.
Yeah. Yes, we're improving with the times.
Look, I know the Celtics just got a point guard. I know they don't have much salary. Obviously, they'd have to move somebody. But Russell Westbrook is one of those guys that, granted, he had a bad season last year. It's not clear if he's on the downturn of his career. But that is a franchise-altering player. And I don't know.
At this point, in a good way or a bad way?
I mean, his value over replacement, if you go into advanced stats, his career year was triple Kyrie's career year.
Oh, yeah.
This guy is a bona fide top three player in the league. And I think the Celtics, maybe you'd have to move Hayward, obviously. You'd have to probably depart with maybe Jaylen Brown, maybe that Memphis pick.
It would be a lot. I mean, the deal would be, Kevin, for Russell Westbrook, you would
Brown and Hayward, and then
you go from there. You would have to include Hayward for contractual purposes.
But would you do it, Alex?
No, I would not, because I think Westbrook at 30 is on the downside. You know, his efficiency stats are way down last year, Kevin. I don't like what it does at all to Tatum's development. I'm out on Westbrook.
Isn't there also something to the idea of...
Hold on, Kevin, real quick. Where do you stand?
I want to inquire about it.
Inquire? Well, yeah. I'd like to inquire about it, too. But would you acquire him? If it was Brown, Hayward, and let's say the Memphis pick.
If he is not on the... if he's not starting to decline, maybe if that last year was just an aberration, yeah, I would. But if he's slowly... I mean, his last season was terrible.
Yeah, well, I mean, you go by traditional stats. He averaged 23, led the league in assists, ironically. 10 points. He gets a lot of criticism for being a selfish player, and he is. Shoots a lot, but so the league in assists. But, yeah. I mean, Westbrook is at 30. His efficiency stats were way down last year, as we mentioned. I don't think that's the way the Celtics should go. But, I mean,
there's something to me, too, about you just got rid of a headache.
Well,
and now you're adding potentially a headache.
Well, Danny Ainge, right? We want good people. People who want to show up to work.
And hey, sometimes that's the cost of doing business in the NBA. If you want a guy who could be a star, you have to put up with some of the ancillary things of that particular personality. And Russell Westbrook can be one of those guys. If I was more confident that you were getting that last year was an aberration, and you were getting a Russell Westbrook that is in line of what we've seen in the past, MVP caliber, I would say roll the dice, deal Brown, deal Hayward, the pick, whatever you need to do, pair him with Kemba Walker, and let's have some fun. Because at least you know with Kemba Walker, you're getting the guy who's the good soldier, right? You're getting the guy who you don't have to worry about and maybe could be a stabilizing presence with Westbrook. But there is something, too. You just got rid of a headache, and now you're maybe bringing another one in.
I mean, you read that Westbrook is huddling with the Thunder this weekend to talk about next steps, so maybe he does go to the market. But also the deal, right? He signed through 2023. This year, he's going to make $38 million, 38.5 actually. Then next year, $41.3 million. 2021 and 2022, $44 million. 2023, $47 million.
He's underpaid, right? I thought you said they were underpaid.
Should
make more.
Overpaid on the back end. He was underpaid so much early on, so I have no problem with him recouping it later on. But that is a rough contract. I don't like at all what it does to Tatum's development. But I do like what it would do to our fashion senses here in Boston as well.
Yeah.
It would be a big improvement over where we've been. Larry in Duxbury, real quick. Hey, Larry.
Hi, guys. I want to clarify this misconception about what a real fan base is, because there's two types. 50 or 60 years ago, when I'm old enough, the NBA was about localized teams and you supported them, etc. The Bird Magic era then triggered the next phase because of television and all the rest, and they become marketable products. And the localized fan base is one thing for your local team, but the bigger issue and the moneymaker is there are, the other fan base supports players, the superstars, regardless of where they go. The LeBron shirts will sell no matter where he is. And we've reached that point. They can pick where they want to go. And fans, localized fans, don't seem to understand. The NBA is now about marketable products moving around, generating the revenue and TV rights and all the rest. It's not a team sport anymore. And Westbrook will just be the final piece of
Larry, I mean, you still need to play as a team, right? I mean, the Celtics this year did not play as a team. And as a result, they got bounced in five games.
Yeah, but it's less about that than if you look at this from a business point of view and the money. There was no free agency in the Russell era and all the rest.
Oh, right, of course.
There was no rigged draft and all the rest, and yet, you know, they were the poster child. But right now, there are more fans that are outside the local markets to support players and teams, both nationally and now globally, where they sell stuff. But so there's two fan bases. Yeah, it's disloyal to the locals, but the moneymakers don't care because they're making more money across the country and the world.
Well, that's the point, right, that you're placating not only fans of teams and markets, but as Larry says, you know, there are people who follow players. There are thousands of Russell Westbrook fans who will buy Russell Westbrook jerseys if he were to come here. I'm sure there are Kemba Walker fans who will buy the number 8.
They're going to flood Boston like the fish fans did. Of course, flood, spelled P-H-L-O-O-D.
Is that a fish thing?
Everything was making P-H,
up. Yes.
I like Fenway, that. Oh, here P-H. We go. Now, is this elevator music, or this just
this
picked
is
up
fish.
The same song?
No, we're picking it up.
No, this is elevator music.
What? Are you serious? Wow. Now, that's actually, I mean, you actually went to the show last night. I know you left early, but I mean, the fact that you can't even tell,
they've got
that's 6, an indictment on you,
songs.
My friend.
They've got tons of songs. They don't play the same set twice.
That's
not
an
like,
indictment on you.
I don't know, man.
That's an indictment on you. I think it's an indictment for anybody who's not rooting for the U.S. of A. In about half an hour, they get ready for the gold medal game, a gold medal match, rather. Excuse moi, against the Netherlands. Gold medal match. Megan Rapinoe.
You ever been to the Netherlands?
I have not.
Crazy place.
I would like to go.
It's fun.
I need to do a European swing. And make a lot more money and have a lot more time off before I can fly back.
Did they give you
the
time? They give you time off. You went on vacation
a couple days
recently.
Yeah, not as much as, you know, a morning show producer like Ken Laird or Chris Curtis.
Didn't you go to Florida?
Hawaii, but.
Or something?
I did go to Florida.
Yeah,
yes, I stayed in an Airbnb, and they made fun of me. They said it looked like a crappy Airbnb. It was a lovely Airbnb. Yes, I'll be away for a few long weekends this summer, but I'm a workhorse. This is my time. I'm hungry, just like Megan Rapinoe and the U.S. women are hungry for the gold medal. See, that's why I'm hosting here. And they're also
hungry.
Also hungry for justice, and that is more importantly why I'm on their side. Are you rooting for Team USA, or are you like Jerry Callahan and not rooting for the red, white, and blue? We'll cover that next as well. We still see your NBA calls, but first, let's grab a trending.
But first, we trend.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now back to Filani and Reamer on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
T-minus half an hour. This is not fish. But T-minus
not
half
fish?
An hour.
Elevator music?
Yes. Neither. Who is this?
This was the Griswolds. We had a snafu there. I almost played the cut coming out that you were going to set up.
No,
so I was like, I
got to
play
up.
A FIFA song.
Okay. Is this the FIFA song?
This is a FIFA song, 16 Years by the Griswolds.
Great video game. One of the classics. Anywho, as I said, T-minus
like really into it.
Half an hour. Really. I used to love FIFA. I was never a big video game kid. I preferred to, play outside. Not really. But video games, for whatever reason.
Hard work.
Yes, I was working hard. I was podcasting. I actually was. I was doing podcasts instead of playing video games.
You had an interesting childhood.
I had none. Had no childhood. That's why I'm making up for lost
That's
time
interesting.
Now.
That's interesting.
T-minus half an hour until the World Cup final. Woo! USA women against the Netherlands.
USA.
But there's a lot going on today in the soccer world. Megan Rapinoe, my favorite athlete, ripped FIFA yesterday for scheduling the Women's World Cup against the Gold Cup final here in the U.S., which is also taking place today, Chris, and the Copa American final, which is also happening in Brazil.
That's a thing, right?
And all of it. There's a lot going on. And Megan Rapinoe, who yesterday had a lot of thoughts on a lot of issues defending Alex Morgan and her tea celebration. I want to read you those comments. She elaborated on her White House position again. But here is her, first of all, ripping FIFA, which I always enjoy.
I mean, if you really care, are you letting the gap grow? Are you scheduling three finals on the same day? No, you're not. Are you letting federations have their teams play two games in the 4 years between each tournament? No, you're not. So that's what I mean about the level of care. We need attention and detail and the best minds that we can possibly have in the women's game, helping it grow every single day. That's a terrible idea to put everything on the same day in every way, especially... I mean, obviously, there's two other finals going on, but this is the World Cup final. This is like cancel everything day. So no, I don't know how that happened. I think I heard somewhere that it was they just didn't think about it, which is like the problem.
So whether it's not going to the White House, whether it's equal pay for women, whether it's defending her and her teammates' right to celebrate after scoring goals. Whether it's talking about their gender disparity in soccer in terms of pay, as we mentioned, or scheduling, feeling like they're getting this shaft from FIFA. That is so American to me, for someone like Megan Rapinoe to use her platform to spread her message. For someone like Jerry Callahan to tweet, happy fourth to everyone except Megan Rapinoe. Like, really? Like, doesn't she embody what it's about
Jerry be American? Using his platform?
I used to love FIFA. I did.
Isn't Jerry just using his platform in the same way?
Of course. I mean, it's his right. But why would
platform's a little smaller than Megan's, but that's okay.
Just a smidge. Although he does have lots of Twitter followers.
He does.
74K.
Yeah.
She doesn't. She has more, I would think. Though Trump tagged the wrong Megan Rapinoe on Twitter last week in his Twitter tirade against her. But you can agree.
It's like that D.C. lawyer, Lee Greenwood. Same name as the guy who wrote God Bless the USA.
Right,
every
right.
now and then he tags him in a tweet.
That's so bad.
Ravens radio broadcaster Jerry Sandusky.
That's just unfortunate.
Very unfortunate.
I think he at least spells it differently. I think he's a G.
Yeah, he's a G guy, yeah.
And if not, you just have to change at one point. Yeah. Like, I'm going to change. Especially you work in sports as well. I mean, that's the double whammy.
How about that poor guy, Robert Lee, who got a play-by-play assignment taken away from
ESPN
him.
At their pandering best. That's your employer, Chris, one of your many employers.
I just remember tweeting something like, I really wish there was a Confederate general named Johnny Gomes after one of the...
There might be. Yeah. There might have been. Yeah, Johnny Gomes. We miss him on the Nesson broadcast this year.
I actually kind of do miss him. He was entertaining.
From an unintentional comedic standpoint, he was the best.
Yes.
Nothing's better than the Eck, Remy, O'Brien three-way booth, of course. By the way, looking forward to that Remy book coming out.
I am told he pulls no punches by the headline I read in the Boston Globe, and I didn't read any of the story.
It was a good column by Shaughnessy, as most Shaughnessy columns are. I also have some tidbits about David Price. Price was so prickly. I read this today.
Ooh, a prickly Price?
Yeah, prickly Price. Mm. He wouldn't even talk to Jerry Remy when he first got here a few years ago. And Remy says that he pulled him aside and says, hey, David, like, can want to talk for 5 minutes? And David Price said, nope, I'm fine. And Jerry said, okay, I get that. I respect it. Won't ask again. And he says from that point forward, David Price has actually been much warmer towards him.
Less prickly.
Less prickly.
Yeah. Okay.
So interesting. But a lot of people feeling prickly towards Megan Rapinoe, saying they're not rooting for the United States women's team. Happy for it to everyone except her. How dare she criticize the White House, the administration, not respect the office. I mean, I say this again, when it's all about to be American, stand up, use your platform, and spread your message, which is what she's doing.
I land in the same place that I have with every single one of these, and it's the same talking points over and over again. Just insert a different person.
Oh, nothing wrong with that.
I know that's how we make a living here at Sports Radio WEEI.
What's Megan Rapinoe's career completion percentage, though? Did she lose her job to Blaine Gabbert?
62%,
something along those lines. I of course I'm going to root for the United States.
Good.
Today, because I'm an American and
hell yeah.
Yeah, go USA and everything
go
else.
Go USA.
I never have, nor will I ever ask or expect for athletes to embody my worldview entirely in order for me to win their support in terms of cheering them on as athletes. I would never ask them to stay silent, regardless of where they land on a political spectrum. If they want to use the platform in such a way that it becomes political, then fine. They're going to be polarizing. They're going to get some pushback for it, but that's absolutely within their rights. And I also, at times, find it curious where people decide to draw the line to where they're not going to root for somebody. Like, for example, it just seems like the guy who maybe hits his wife ends up being not where the line is
drawn.
There
we go.
But the guy who has the political point of view that I disagree with, now he becomes persona non grata.
That's a great point.
I will compartmentalize at times, and with Team USA, it's like, as much as I had a hell of a time when I was over in the Netherlands, I am an American. I'll be rooting for Team USA today. And they should win, right?
Oh, yeah,
I don't have a...
They're great at this.
I'm not going to tell you I've got a huge X's and O's understanding of women's soccer
I'll fill
here,
in the blanks.
My understanding is they are a heavy favorite today.
Oh, I mean, they've steamrolled everybody up to this point. That's why they've gotten so much flack.
They steamrolled everybody. Spain was pretty close.
And England
was
2-1. I guess Thailand was the real...
They steamrolled Thailand and then won a series of competitive matches.
Sure, but Thailand... Let's go back to the Thailand.
Poor Thailand.
Match,
right? They got it handed to them.
And they're celebrating and showboating, and Shaughnessy and other fuddy-duddies are angry at them for doing that. And it's, you know, really, I mean, scores are so rare in soccer.
I know, like, 13 is probably piling on, but doesn't goal differential also matter in
pool
play?
It does, exactly. It matters, and a lot of the pushback that Alex
probably
Morgan
didn't
got
13, but...
And Rapinoe got, well, right, but it's, I think there are a lot of
may have done it.
Sexist undertones where if the men's teams, if they celebrate, are looked upon less hard than the women, judged less harshly. I think there is some sexism at play there too, but you know, and you're right, that's a great point about what fans allow to slide and what fans allow to not slide. So in the NFL, right, I mean, teams have players who are charged with domestic violence, convicted in some cases of these violent assaults, and that, you know, few fans are going to call us and go, oh, that's it, I'm done with the NFL. But then, oh, you have a few players of color kneel during the anthem to talk about police brutality, racial inequality. Oh, then we get the phone calls. Then we get the burned jerseys. So it does say a lot about where your priorities are and what you're sensitive towards.
Where the line is drawn is, I find, interesting from time to time. But I just, I think that if you are looking for somebody to embody your worldview and you're not going to support anything they do unless they fully espouse everything that you do, you're not going to like anything. Within the course of a Major League Baseball team, 25 players, I guarantee you, there are some players that are probably right in line with how you think, and there are some that are the complete opposite. It kind of is what it is. And I know people, a lot of them would just wish that athletes would just shut up and just entertain us, just dance, just perform and play your sport, otherwise be quiet. But it's not like it's difficult to tune out that which you don't want to hear. And that's kind of how I approach it, too. Say what you want. If I want to listen, I will. If I want to take any, think there's any merit or value to what you're saying, then that's how I approach it. If not, then I'll tune you out.
Because
it's
Trump,
pretty easy to do these days.
I think especially with the era of Trump and his followers and worshipers, really, it's like a cult. And if you go against a cult leader, they have to go after you. But
that's how Fish was described to me.
Exactly. Well, very like a lot of similarities, I think, between Fish fans and Trump fanatics. Because even...
Oh, yeah. The Venn diagram of people that were at Fenway last night
definitely crosses over.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like a circle.
Yes.
One circle. Yes.
So, I mean, Rapinoe obviously got a lot of heat when her old comments resurfaced last week. She's not going to the effing White House. And then she explains what she means, and she goes, you know, I don't think I want to go, and I would encourage my teammates to think hard about lending that platform or having that platform co-opted by an administration that doesn't feel the same way we do and fight for the same things we fight for. Like, that is totally fine, totally reasonable. I mean, what's wrong with saying that? You know, even her comments the other day. I feel fortunate to be in this country. I'd never be able to do this in a lot of other places, but that doesn't mean we can't get better. It doesn't mean we shouldn't always strive to be better. I think this country is founded on a lot of great ideals, but it was also founded on slavery. And I think we just need to be honest about that and be open about talking about that so we can reconcile with that and hopefully move forward and make this country better for everyone. Like, even a statement like that, Chris, has generated a lot of controversy, but I don't see the controversial part. She says America's great. She says she's fortunate to be here. She wouldn't be able to be playing for the U.S. national team while speaking out against the presidential administration. But also, this country is founded on some bad things. So why can't we reconcile with that as well? Like, what's a controversial part of that statement?
But you know as well as anybody, it's less about the statement and more about who's saying it. That's the issue. It's not the words that are coming out. It's who they're coming out of. And she's become a polarizing,
so isn't that un-American,
lightning rod kind of figure at this point.
Isn't that un-American, though, to tell a high-profile athlete to shut up and stop using their freedom of speech and stop using their platform?
I think it's un-American to tell anybody to shut up and stop using their platform and freedom of speech.
But that's what people are
saying. Whether a high-profile athlete or not.
That's what Jerry Callahan's of the world are saying to Megan Rapinoe. Shut up and not dribble, but shut up and kick the soccer ball. I mean,
but
basically.
I think most people maybe can understand this or at least be willing to admit it. They're saying that because they disagree.
Shut up and know your role!
Yeah, the correlation between whether you agree with somebody and whether you think they should have the right to express an opinion is pretty strong. If you agree with them, then yeah, sure. It's the old Glenn Ordway Big Show thing, right? The guys would call in, would agree with Glenn. They'd be on like a guest. The caller would be there for 25 minutes just lavishing praise upon Ordway.
I may do the same.
When somebody called in, Glenn, I don't think you're right. All of a sudden, your phone kind of cut out there. Not sure what it was, and let's go to the next call.
They're true snowflakes. I mean, they call us snowflakes, but they're true snowflakes. They don't want to have the conversation.
Don't lump me in with you. That's a little concerning to me. Don't lump me
in. We do sound
alike.
Do sound alike, as others say. Angelo in Worcester has some thoughts on our NBA free agency discussion. What's up, Angelo?
Yeah, so not only NBA free agency, but free agency in general. Reamer, one thing you got to realize is when you talk about how everyone has a right to choose where they want to play, that is not typical world. And what I mean by that, the NBA is a business. It is a company. If I'm an engineer and I work for a company, I can't say, hey, I want this job higher up in that company, or I want this position in that company, and simply leave for the same position in that company. The NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, they're all unique in that, and they provide those abilities to athletes that no other company does.
Yes, Angelo, and thanks. You're breaking up a little bit there. And I'm not just hanging up on him because he disagreed with me.
Yep. No, John. If he agreed, it would have been. Angelo, we're going to fight through this this bad phone connection together.
John, our producer, told me to keep him brief because the phone was tough. Cut him out with the all. Play him off.
Elevator music.
Play him off.
Or is this fish?
I wish we could have them play that like while the callers are on hold, ready to go on the air.
No, they listen to our dulcet tones.
Next caller, when we go to take him, we're just going to play that and make him wait.
The argument to Angelo is, but you get to choose which company you work for. That's the difference. You don't get to work in the position you want to necessarily work in, but you get to choose which company you work for, which doesn't apply to the players. So that's been my point with the draft. And why, Mike Florio, you played that sound earlier.
But the number of choices you have are pretty limited in some cases. Like, if you want to go into sports radio, if you want to work for a newspaper, are fewer options available than there might have been. And also, the geographic challenges. You can say, yeah, well, you can choose any place that you want to work for, but most people don't have the means that an athlete does to be able to uproot their family and go to any particular city. So I understand in principle what you're saying, but I think in many cases, not all, but in many, the choices that average people have in terms of where they can work, what jobs they can do, what fields they can go into, what companies they can work for are more limited than you are suggesting.
617-779-7937. Continuing that conversation, the other side also, are you like me? Do you have Megan Rapinoe as much as I do? What do you say to Arvelani? I mean, I understand you respect her right as an American, but how about you? Does she make you feel patriotic?
She doesn't. I don't have a strong feeling towards her either way.
I don't.
Come on. She's apparently a good soccer player.
She's a great soccer player. Four straight goals at one point.
She scored a lot of goals. She scored the only goals against Spain. I know that.
Yeah.
We need her on a ticket for 2020.
Absolutely.
Beto Rapinoe 2020.
No. Warren Rapinoe.
Warren Rapinoe 2020.
Yes. Beto, come on.
How old is she?
Rapinoe?
Yeah.
Young.
She can't be old enough to actually be president. I know you're kidding, but.
We'll have to look.
What's the way she's kidding?
35.
Megan Rapinoe, age. She's 34.
Oh,
so she will be 35 by the time.
Never mind. I take it back.
The 2020 election comes around.
I take it back. Does she make me feel more patriotic? No.
Yes.
No, she doesn't. Not necessarily.
But what other country could you have a high-profile player play for, again, that country's the national team in the World Cup gold medal match, and they're simultaneously criticizing our presidential administration?
There are a lot of countries.
Our president.
Now, there are some where it absolutely couldn't, but...
Like many of the dictators who
The Netherlands has
true.
Freedom.
They Canada. Do.
They do. You could play for the Canadian team and criticize Trudeau and criticize Parliament.
But there's lots
sure.
of... But there's,
do you think you could be anti-Brexit and play for England?
Be tough.
Of course. Yes, you can.
But there's lots...
But I understand what you're saying. And
red,
America
white,
is great,
and blue.
And freedom
yes.
of speech is phenomenal. Yes. I love
yes.
that. But
thank you.
We're not the only country in the world that has the freedom to do...
You know what?
The things that Megan Rapinoe
But there
is
are
doing.
People who want to take that freedom away, including our president. So that's why I'm especially in your face about it, because there are people, his followers, and him in particular, do not respect freedom of speech. They do not respect their detractors. They want Megan Rapinoe to shut up and just go to the White House.
Do you respect Kurt Schilling's freedom of speech?
I don't, because he is asinine.
Okay,
we'll be
yeah,
right back.
There we go.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And Reber on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
That was next level. That was pretty sharp by Alex. Maybe we'll have to do it at the same time and we'll duke it out. That was pretty sharp, though.
Sorry to interrupt, but there's been some criticism in the British media over the whole teacup celebration. What do you say to that? What do you say to people who say, you're not celebrating the right way, we find this offensive, we find you disrespectful? What's your comeback to that?
Wah, wah, wah. I mean, it's like... We're at the World Cup. What he wants to do, this is the biggest stage, the biggest moment. I don't think anyone truly believes that we disrespect the game or disrespect our opponents. We have the utmost respect for England and every team that we've faced and every team that we will face forever and ever. That's just part of the DNA of the squad.
That was Megan Rapinoe a couple days ago defending her teammate Alex Morgan, who was sipping some tea after she scored the decisive goal in U.S. of A's 2-1 victory against the Netherlands.
Sorry,
underway momentarily.
Freaking amateur
gold
here.
Cup.
I didn't even realize we were back.
John is stealthy like that. He will
put you on the air without even
there.
Knowing.
The game's starting, though. We got to put it on.
Yeah, 5 minutes. Don't worry.
We got three TVs here, and none of them are on
the game
itself.
You know what? I think sexism. No doubt about it. This is the men's team, the men's Gold Cup match.
Channel 25.
Channel 25. But we will do that during the break.
Megan, the difference between the FIFA purse for the men's and women's game, I understand the revenues are probably different. There's many differences, but it is pretty staggering. The difference in the purse. I mean, you're talking about tenfold.
Right. So the prize for the Men's World Cup last year was $400 million to be split. This year's winnings for the women, $30 million. So right there. That is grotesque.
Right. Again, without FIFA opening their books and seeing exactly what goes into that number, television rights and the amount of money that's brought in, I really can't comment beyond that, but it is a pretty eye-popping...
Oh, note. Totally. And that's what she was talking about, the sound we played earlier this hour, her talking about FIFA, not just upset about the scheduling with the Gold Cup final here in the U.S. and the Copa America final going on in Brazil as well today in the soccer world, two big deals. But yeah, $400 million for the men. Last year's World Cup, this year for the women, $30 million. Those are the winnings. Although, if the FIFA did say, Chris, on Friday, that they'll be able to double the prize for the women in 2023 to $60 million.
So but the men's prize is going up, too.
I'm sure it's going up as well. We have Alex Morgan who addressed this as well.
You
yesterday.
See men celebrating all around the world in big tournaments, you know, grabbing their sacks or whatever it is, and when I look at sipping a cup of tea, I'm a little taken aback and kind of, you have to laugh about it to see all the criticism, so I'm a little disappointed.
I mean, that's Alex Morgan, right, talking about the celebration and saying what I said. I think there is some sexism there.
This was ridiculous. People got mad over that. You really gotta get a life. Like,
you
have to step back and evaluate what upsets you, because the celebrate, and I'm all for celebrations. Have some fun. Buckley has said this in the past.
He said, I host with him Friday. He said this line.
We don't have to make these somber affairs, right?
Baseball, you hit a home run and it's a somber occasion.
Right. You don't have to be sad about it and put your head down and be embarrassed about the fact you just hit the ball 500 feet. No.
Right.
I don't believe in that at all. And I thought her celebration was, frankly, whether it was a cup of tea or a joint, whatever.
She was not
a joint. But I know Piers Morgan thought it was.
Yeah, well,
he
Piers
was insistent.
Oh, God.
It was a very tame, mild celebration. Now, there's some, look, did you need to really celebrate the, I don't know, 10th, 11th,
but why
12th
not?
Goal
Floral about baby
against Thailand.
Trump is our president.
I understand.
We're gaudy people.
There does come a point where it's like, all right, you don't have to be sad about it, but you maybe can tamp it down a little bit. You're kicking the living crap out of this team.
But I do love that it angers everybody. This guy, Miguel Delaney, is a British soccer journalist. He writes for The Independent over there in the UK. He tweets out this morning, the U.S. women's team is not liked by a lot of neutrals because it's one of the first times the U.S. team has dominated a truly international sport, bringing all the worst of the individualistic obnoxiousness of U.S. sporting culture to truly international competition for a rare occasion. The U.S. elite jock culture is horrendous, but it's usually confined to individual sports and Olympics or within U.S. sports. He says the U.S. women have the most Trumpian attitude in the most communist sporting structure. So very deep Miguel Delaney.
Yeah, this
is
a guy...
has not paid attention to what Rapinoe's been saying.
This is a guy who can't get over the fact that we're better at your sport than you are. Okay?
That's
sorry. Sorry, dude. You guys invented soccer. I'm pretty sure they did, right?
I think so.
English invented soccer. It sounds right. And we're better at it than you are. Tough. That's his problem. It was the same thing with the Brits couldn't handle the fact that the American, their advanced people went of slight when it just seems like a matter of course that you would do that in any tournament situation, that you'd have people, advanced people, checking out the accommodation. They do that in the NCAA tournament.
They do that all the time.
They
did in the Stanley Cup, the St. Louis Blues. They had people, they booked some floors of the club that they were going to celebrate at if they won Game 7. And Bruins fans got upset saying, oh, okay, it's like, really?
Yeah, I mean, they loved it when Bill Belichick read the Eagles parade route.
Of course.
Right? That story.
Of course. But these things are planned ahead of time.
Of course. I love the fact that Belichick used it as a motivational tool. I think that's hilarious. And but this wasn't a motivational tool. They were legitimately, and I'm talking about the Brits and the UK soccer crowd and the, what's his name, Miguel Delaney's of the world.
Our man.
Were legitimately upset that this was some sort of a slight, that they were looking past them rather than looking at it as what it is, a matter of course that you would do this. And yeah, maybe if you're the coach, you could use that as some sort of a motivating factor. They don't believe in you. They don't think you're a worthwhile opponent or something like that along the lines of what Belichick did. But they were legitimately ticked off about it. And I find that hilarious. And it comes back to, yep, you invented the sport. Appreciate it. Thanks for handing it off to us. And now, at least on the women's side, maybe not the men's side, but at least on the women's side, we're better than you and you can't handle it.
I hope Megan Rapinoe is in the lineup today, back in the lineup. Hope she scores 2 goals, crazy celebrations. F you to Trump. I hope she says that on the pitch right there.
Right on the pitch?
F you to Trump. Right on the pitch. Yes.
This is our F in country.
This is our F in country. Exactly, Jim. I mean, as the texter points out, you mentioned during the break, you said that we have not had a lot of great texts today.
Not a few, I guess.
I would disagree. Texter points out, I think making one of the most salient points I've ever read here on the text line. It's not Alex, you're a hypocrite. Uh-oh, hold on. They got buried here.
It got buried in an avalanche of other texts.
Here we go. Agree so much with what you're saying. Sports have always been political, no matter what anyone, Trump supporters, say. Just ask Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, Billie Jean King, etc. It's absolutely right.
Sure. Carlos and Smith topped the podium in Mexico. Absolutely. And that's why I've got no problem with it whatsoever. Never have, never will. Use your platform in the way that you want. People can freely ignore it or dismiss it. Or criticize it if they want to. And I think athletes know they open themselves up for criticism, just as Muhammad Ali did. When you take political stances, when you become more than just an athlete, more than just somebody who's there for people's entertainment, people understand that. However, I do think you have to be open to that coming from all sides. You're not, and you're no. openly not.
Well, because
you like it when you agree.
Well, but I would
then
also say,
go Megan Rapinoe 2020 when it's Schilling.
And she is old enough to run, as we know. But I would also say that Kurt Schilling, who believes in QAnon and that Trump is looking to eradicate this international child sex trafficking ring cabal, although JFK Jr. did not present himself as Q on the 4th of July holiday.
You're
very upset
but
for them.
You know
I'm
that,
just saying that Schilling spouts inanity. Megan Rapinoe spouts truth. You know, and Tim Thomas is saying that I'm not going to visit Obama in the White House because they're going to seize my property. It goes, sorry, not really a
but
valid
when you talk
reason
about things
there, Timmy.
Being American and free speech, you're going to have all of it. And you have to be willing to, you don't have to like all of it. You can certainly disagree with all of it. But where I think you run into the problems of being a hypocrite is when you're saying he shouldn't even be able to say it.
I'm not saying that anyone should be thrown in prison or have their rights revoked.
Are you?
Well, I mean, Schilling maybe. No, what do you suck? You kidding me? No, never. But it's just, but also, like, people saying that she is un-American, that she is not being patriotic. She is being very patriotic. And as I mentioned, her as a woman, as an open lesbian, I mean, this administration is working against her. In a multitude of ways. I mean, with the anti-LGBT, ordinances they've passed, the conservative justices they've ushered in. I mean, as she said, this administration, this president does not fight for the things that she and many of her teammates are fighting for. So why would you go to the White House and have him co-opt your success
Op? This may be a question that shows how much I've been really locked in while I was on vacation and then into the 4th of July over the past couple of weeks. But the Patriots going to the White House?
They are not. Tom Curran had the story early last week.
They're not. Okay.
It gained little traction, yes. Curran does not explicitly cite sources, but it's apparent he's been speaking to folks in the organization, and he says the Patriots have no visit scheduled because it's not worth the trouble.
I'm really
curious.
They do
not think it's worth the trouble.
I'm curious to whether, what will the reaction then be from Trump? Because he typically will belittle or slam those who don't go with the Eagles or the Warriors or whoever. Is he going to do that to...
Privately, I bet he's seething.
The Patriots?
Privately, I bet he's seething.
To Robert Kraft?
Publicly, he will say nothing because it is deeply embarrassing to Trump if his beloved Patriots and his good pals, Kraft, Belichick, Brady at this point, I think, is a former pal, but...
But Belichick openly supported him, and that's fine, but...
He wrote a fawning endorsement letter.
Didn't vote for him, but he...
Oh, right, because you checked the records.
Yeah, he didn't vote. but he openly supported him, wrote him an encouraging letter.
More than encouraging. It was a fawning letter. It's like a fantastic letter.
He can't come back and then bash him for not showing up to the
White House. No, it's also embarrassing to Trump. He lets it go publicly, but privately, I guarantee you he's calling Kraft if he hasn't done it already. But as Curran mentions in the piece, I totally understand why the Patriots would opt not to go. Never mind the whole Trump connection anyway, which always invites trouble and, you know, distractions. But, you know, Kraft is still fighting these
Kraft's
prostitution
legal,
charges.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt that Trump would not be able to help himself. He would say something about that case with Kraft standing next to him at the podium. He would say something flip. It would be dumb. It would be insensitive. It would be tasteless. Kraft would be guilty by association. And stay the hell away.
Something about the airports, maybe?
Oh, something. Or, you know, he'd be like, you know, it's been a tough...
And look, and Obama had his gaffes too, 57 states, etc. I'm not saying... But regardless of what side of the political aisle you're on, the hashtag Revolutionary War airport stories on Twitter was a funny read. I really did enjoy that.
See, I don't even know
our
what Trump...
Army manned the airport. It ran the ramparts.
I mean, unbelievable. I mean,
he said something about the army taking over the airports during the Revolutionary War.
I mean, he said 2 weeks, he said a couple days ago that homelessness just started 2 years
ago. Battle of LaGuardia.
I mean, every day is a battle of Reagan.
I'll tell you, Newark.
Trump's favorite.
Yeah, but what did they call Reagan Airport during the Revolutionary War? The Gipper was still a ways away from being born.
They glimmer in their eyes.
JFK must have had a different name, too.
I mean, the most minor Trump gaffe. Would have been the biggest gaffe that any president we can remember has ever made. I mean, that's where we are.
I just found that point. Again, regardless of what side of the political aisle you're on, I know, because the text will come in, Obama had his gaffes, too. Fine.
Not like
but
this.
But that
come
was,
on.
Well, 57 states is more than there is. There's not 57 states. He said that.
I understand that.
He said he's been to all... He meant 47.
Okay.
With Trump, I think he meant ports.
Okay, I mean...
Like they took over ports.
We should not play this game with Trump. Every day there's something like this. I mean, times 10.
I just found the Twitter funny. The Twitter reaction funny.
617-779-7937. So the much-talked-about women's soccer Gold Cup match underway. We'll give you your play-by-play, man. Want to do live updates for the final hour?
I'm watching an insurance commercial, UFC, and tennis. Well, so, no, I'm not going to give you anything.
UFC, so, but we're going to change it to women's soccer. Also, Dave Dombrowski, if I'm a starting pitcher on this team, if I'm a position player on this team, I am pissed off at my general manager. We'll explain why next with your calls. Reamer and Villani, Sports Radio, WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.